So hello and welcome. And I'm just beyond thrilled to have captured my next guest in one place where I'm in one place where we can record our messages because she is a gifted artist. She's designed covers for my books. She's written in books that have helped so many people, including one that is just really being pretty noisy right now about the power of releasing judgment. And we were just in our pre-conversation just kind of thinking about this whole thing of like being guided to make creations, but also that sensitivity, being hypersensitive to other people's feelings and what they're going through. So welcome, Bettina.
Hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of us here. Hi, Erica.
Hi. I am getting that there's a lot of interest in your contributions right now. And I think you were telling me you have some art shows coming up. Maybe just share for people a little bit of like how you flow the art, how the art comes to you, if you want to.
Cool. I'm very happy to. It's really floating by. It's we just started talking about this, Erica, and before the recording started, and you said, "Oh, let's record this," you know, because I was just saying how as creatives we are very aware of the energy, whether it is the energy of a book or the energy of a painting, the energy of anything that we create. To me, they are like entities, they are beings, they have an energy, they have a space, they are sort of rather palpable. And so we pick them up, they come by, it's like, hey, I want to be created. And so when I'm in my studio and I prepare my canvas, I have just a pretty blank canvas here right now. I just started the first layer. But it's really an energy. For me, the energy starts with a color. Colors are energy to me. And so I start the dance with a painting by not by thinking about it, how it has to be and what has to be there. I'm not a conceptual artist that
Right.
sticks to a structure. I'm dancing with my painting, meaning I'm aware of an energy. I start the canvas. I wet the canvas and I start with the colors. And so then I go from there. I let the colors flow. I work with the water, which is a beautiful element of the earth. And things start to show up. Things, and in my universe also, it is a churning, a turning, a dancing, a challenge. And so I let the painting dry. I come back next day and I see where do I go with this? Because a canvas to me is wide open playground. As I said,
Wide
I'm not following a sketch or anything, but I'm bringing it through in the moment. So things are showing up. Colors are composing with me and tones and hues, and then shapes start showing up eventually, sometimes, not always. And so I go from there. It is picking it up and asking it questions like, hey, who do you want to be? What do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Who am I painting this for?
You know, when I'm building a podcast, it's very interesting because it works through me in a similar way. It's like I'll start with something I want to help someone with, or something I want to like, I'm being guided to share bigger, or some conversation I'm supposed to have, not supposed to in a bad way, but supposed to in like this really beautiful divine way. And as we are talking, new words are being formed, like new, like you and I getting together here, we're creating something new, which is this podcast episode. And there's so much magic and divinity in it when we allow it to be not, this is what I should ask Bettina, but what would be helpful? What would help people who are going through a depressing time or who maybe, are having trouble being at peace because there's so much drama going on in the world. So I was doing a lot of reflecting on that the other day because I was able to interview this through someone else, the messages of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I was able to really tap into his thing about being at peace yourself, like being at peace yourself. And as I sat there, and of course, he taught peace, right? And as I sat there and I looked at like your energy, it's like vivacious, it's creative, it's the sunshine even when it's dark. It's like like in Alaska, it's like you're like the little minutes in Alaska when the sun comes out and it just shines so bright and everybody runs outside and sits and put their face up to the sun because it's out. I don't think anyone's ever
Yes.
called you that before.
That's true. Yes, and it's yeah, this is so true, and it is about the joy of being. And I just posted this today on my Instagram. What if we never let anything or anyone take away that joy of being? And I always love looking into nature. Like, do the cardinals have a point of view, or the robins, or the chickadees, or the hummingbirds? Do the hummingbirds say, "Oh my God, now I got to go back on this migration flight 2,000 miles all on my own. Oh my God, will I make it?" No, they come to my window, they hover there and they say goodbye and they joyfully fly off. And I just learned that the hummingbirds fly alone. They don't fly in a flock or a tribe, each one by itself. And so just think about that. And I talk when I mention the joy of being, it is not the frantic joy that is when somebody drinks too much and they are just yelling, screaming. I'm not talking about that. It's the true joy of being is what I see in nature. It is when I look at a tree, I look at a body of water. There's a sense of peace and a sense of quiet with it and no point of view. And so with my paintings, this is the space that I have when I'm painting. And I am always asking, like, what's it going to take for me to always have this space and never allow this reality and the fight in this reality that actually tries to pull us in? What if I never allow this to influence or to even get me out of the space that is my joy? And it's muscles to build. It's
It
like we
is. It
have to
is.
be good athletes, stamina.
I call it when I was writing my books about happiness, I was writing happiness quotations. And I would say, happiness is a discipline. It's a choice that you make each day. And so being happy with what you have. And it was so funny because one of my children, she lost her phone. And so she had to get a new phone. She can't afford the new one. She has to get one that's like 2 years old or something, right? And I said, well, that's the FOMO, that's the societal thing. They figured out if they bring out some new gadget with lots of new things, you're gonna feel sad about this phone that when you got it was $1,000 and you were so happy you got it. You were so excited about it. It had two or three cameras on it. I mean, it was so perfect. And now it's like sad that you're getting the same phone. And I said, do you see how fake that is?
Yeah.
Like, really, to make people feel bad because they have last year's phone.
I
Makes me laugh. I came from a different era. And so when I was a kid, everybody didn't have a phone. You
I
had to
know, right?
share.
How did we make it, Erica? I remember driving and I still had like an atlas with me, a real map, and I had to pull over and look at the map and figure it
I know that makes me
out,
think I was one time I got lost up in Sonoma, back when my kids played hockey, and the GPS wouldn't work there. It was an area where GPS hadn't gotten to yet, and I was like, I hadn't printed out a map because I was so dependent on GPS. And it was really funny because it was like, okay, Erica, next time you go somewhere brand new that you've never been before in the middle of nowhere, print out a little map.
Good idea.
Or even hand draw the street names or something so that you have something if your phone is like not working. That's just so funny we went there. And I actually, this really tells me something, Bettina, because I want to just get into that little space of creativity and creation with you where it isn't the thing making it, like it's not the phone making our creativity, or it's not the speed of the chip that's making it, even though I like fast chips. So it's really a different energy, isn't it? And it's timeless.
Yeah, it's absolute, it doesn't exist in time. Time is a creation, you know. So it is really an interesting space to be in. It is the space of being. I know it from when I'm painting, the space of being. There's no thought. I'm not thinking. I'm just breathing. Really, I'm just breathing, and I'm there with the colors, and I'm there with the creation, with the painting, right? And it is absolutely magical. And I also, it is not all bliss and oh, fairies or whatever. I also run into challenges, right? As I mentioned before, I run into, hey, where are you going now, painting? And I don't like this or whatever, like where I have a point of view. And yeah, it is challenging, yet it is, gosh, it is so worth it, because I know by now that at the end of this dance, at the end of this journey with the painting, I always stand flabbergasted, and I'm like, whoa, where did you come from? You know, and it is, because it is, it's almost like the alchemist that pulls element out of thin air. Sometimes you might need an element that you thought you don't like, but what if in the composition and in the symphony with all the other elements, it becomes something that you will absolutely adore? It's like when you look at the rose and you look at the color of each petal. And let's say, as an example, you don't like dark brown, right? So you look at this pretty pink rose, but when you dive into the petals and you study the petals and you want to know what colors are all in there, you find dark brown. But in the composition of the whole piece, it is what is required to bring out the bright pink. You would not have the pretty rose without all its elements. So this is an incredible dance, and I laughed a lot, and I cried a lot, and I swore a lot, you know, it's like cussing, and you know, but then I'm also laughing and I'm dancing. It's all of it. And this is the dance of being. It's all of it, where we embrace everything and we never get caught up in a fixed point of view. And it's the same with everything that is going around currently. It's to stay free of the fight, to stay free of the polarity, and then marvel at what we actually can
Yeah.
create. What can we create? What
And
did we come here to create?
sometimes creations will happen when you're in alignment and they'll be ahead of their time.
Yeah,
And
I'm
so
laughing. Yes.
and so you'll like one of my podcasts just took off this year. It's on energy clearing, and it wasn't that it was wrong before. It was okay before. It just started going crazy. It's like people just started sharing it more, and it started getting downloaded more. And the meditations, which I haven't even listened to like in 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden just took wings, and it's so
Wow.
beautiful. And it's like each time we honor the creation, it feels to me like what I'm hearing you say, and I love how you say it, it's so beautiful, is when you're true to it, then it will all be all right. And some of our metrics can just be silly.
Right. You know, lately, it's so interesting that you say that. Lately, what I noticed is that paintings that I painted, let's say 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, all of a sudden people buy them. So
Wow.
what I realized is, well, yeah, and I knew this before, but then I had forgotten about it. You know how this always is. But I'm in the future. This is why I was laughing when you said that. I'm about 18 to 20 years into the future, and you are too. You know, when you say, like, same thing with the power of releasing judgment, the book and the painting, they just jumped at me the other day, and it's like, whoa. So I opened The Power of Releasing Judgment and read, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is so timely. This needs to be out there again. And so we created it many years ago, but as creators, we are also futurists. We are in the future. And so what is really important for all of the creators who are listening to this podcast now, for you to ask a question, how far into the future am I? And then we have to let go of
Wow.
painting sells, when what podcast takes off, because we never know.
We never know.
The creators,
yeah,
right?
And I, when you asked that question, I got that for me, it's about 15 years.
Yeah.
And my mom created, this is really beautiful. My mom created the first daytime talk show for women that wasn't a soap opera.
Oh, wow.
So it was a precursor to Oprah. And it was called Turnabout, and she won an Emmy for it. And it was the first daytime talk show for women about serious topics.
Wow.
And it went national on PBS, the public broadcasting system, and it won her awards. But then look, that turned into Ellen and Oprah and all these talk shows that women host now. But in the 70s, like, that just wasn't done. Like, daytime was soap operas. That was what it was. It was just soap operas. Isn't that fascinating?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
So hats off to my mom. She was blonde like you, and she had green eyes like you. And I don't think she ever really understood that she was ahead of her time.
Well, usually we don't, you know, we just don't, we don't even think about this. But then a lot of us are running into trouble with it when we don't pay attention and we start judging ourselves, or we judge our creations, or we think, oh, my things are not selling, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's about realizing, like, who we actually are, how we are creating, and how this might all be working, you know?
What's something else someone can do if they want to nurture that part of themselves?
Nurture the creative part?
Uh-huh.
Well, find the things that inspire you. What I always find, for me, it is nature, for instance, going outside in nature, like the nurturing, or nurturing my body, taking a bath, right? So you, like, ask your body what would be nurturing to you. What would you like? Because we are here with our bodies, right? So if I want to paint a painting, I need my body's fingers to hold that brush, right? So, like, together, this team, me and my body, right? So this is important. And then also, like, what is inspiring to you? What is giving you this spark? So you can literally ask this question: well, what could inspire me right now? For me personally, it is art. It is music. I just put on beautiful music and I dance, or I get together with other artists, and just seeing art is amazing to me personally.
Yeah. What I like is a really good book. Surprising, right?
Yes.
I love books. I'm always reading at least two or three books. Like, there's always a couple books, like, by my bed, and then there's, like, a book in my car just in case I have to sit somewhere. I have a book. And I think for me, like, books have always sort of been my heaven or my haven, or both, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. And well, tell us a little bit about your show, although I'm not sure when this is going to air exactly. And tell us where you are in the world and how people can reach you and find out more.
I'm in Wisconsin by Madison, Wisconsin, which is the Midwest of the United States. I'm right there in the center. And I have several websites. I'm on Instagram. Bettina Medini is the handle for Instagram. My website is bettinamedini.art, bettinamedini.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm everywhere. And currently, I don't have actually a show scheduled. I don't have any events. I do a lot of art fairs, and my tour was over at the end of September when I went to North Carolina and did an art fair there and drove far.
That was nice, though. Yeah.
Yeah, my art said, this year, Bettina, we need to go further. So,
aww,
yeah,
so
we went.
You listened.
Yes, I did. We went into Michigan and we toured, of course, Wisconsin, but then also went to Alabama and North Carolina. So,
nice.
So yeah.
North Carolina really likes it.
And I like it. I like the mountains there. Oh my God, the Blue Ridge Parkway is just Amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
So pretty. Well, thank you so much for coming. I'm so glad I could have a chance and opportunity. And for everybody, the book that Bettina, she designed the cover and I edited the insides, and it's called A Power of Releasing Judgment. And it's just chock full of authors who share how to get out of your head. More or less, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me, Erica.